Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbath Time Congregation, now at the 12th Hour, in the Auburn, Texas. Today is July the 24th, 2025, or it's the first day of Abe, New Moon Sabbath, 29. We're going to start our service with the Sunday Greetings, Volume 2. Question and answers, part two. Who are the lady sins? Who are the king of the north and the king of the south? Is World War II and the Daniels 11? When does the time of the end begin? Observe time and energy. Conserve time and energy. This is a Church of Address, Letter of H.G. Hollis, August the 31st, 1946. We're going to this, I am to answer a question that have come to the hymn from the brethren and the Mother Church. But as you listen to the answer, I want you to consider that we too were once in their place, that we also were a typical little sin, and that's what they are doing now. We likewise were doing then, for we too were perhaps questioning everything in which we had no part, acting and speaking in the same way as they. What a terrible and unbecoming thing for a believer to not believe even Yahshua's own sins to the letter sin. Actually, when Yahshua spoke to the letter sin, angel of the letter sin, he was talking about one person, and that was the inspired prophet that had apostatized, applying to Brother Johnson Kermit from 1970-2003. So you take the S off of letter sins here, and you just put unto the angel of the church of the letter sin. When you say letter sin, then you're talking about more than one person in the church. But when you're talking about the angel of letter sin, you're talking about one person. Yet we also saw we had need of nothing, but that all others had need of us. For you know that we were not so open-minded, then as we are now, and when, our doctrines were questioned, we also, like our brethren, did not honestly and unabashedly give a fair hearing to the news of others. When we were in their place, we also, in our lukewarmness, zealously defended every doctrine, even though we ourselves were not clear in some of them. This we did only because the doctrines which were taught in the church by our own ministering brethren, we also presumably believed were correct. And so we, as blindly as they, believed and 100% of whatever was taught in the SDA church. not considering that much of it came through the unhinged men, that's the General Conference, that were Jesuit infiltrators in the Adventist Church that had taken over the leadership from Ellen G. White, inspired or uninspired, did not make any difference to us. Then, as it makes no difference to them, and now, we also were in a terrible and a sad deception, and right along with them knew not or believed not that we were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Although the Yahshua himself said, he said so in Revelation 3:14 to 18, and as I said before, go read it for yourself. Yahshua is talking to one person, that's the angel of the church of Laodicea, and he would have to be the one that was purged out, and that spewed out of his mouth, and that would be Roland Johnson. And that happened in 2002-2003. So, Beachy Hall goes on now, says, we are continued in that state of the mind until the scroll unrolled. Then our eyes were opened, the doctrines and interpretation, which did not come through the inspiration, we then clearly saw that they were only devisings of men. Neither did we see beforehand that the Sabbath and the church were turned into institutions for the raising goals and for the merchandising means for the dishonoring Yahweh and for the robbing the poor to feed and clothe those who are keeping the whole church in the terrible Laodicean sad deception. So looking at it from this angle, we were not much better than the best of the Laodicean. What makes the difference between us and them is that the light was illuminated, that illuminated our path, but it has not as yet reached them the credit then for what advancement we may have made in this revival and reformation effort. It's not ours. That's the Yahweh. For the first question to be answered this afternoon takes us to the 11th chapter of Daniel. Identify the king of the north and the king of the south. The question is, who are the king of the north and the king of the south in our day, as it is our duty to sanctify the Yahweh in our hearts and to be ready to give the right answer at the right time unto every man that asks for a reason of the hope that is within us. Let us read Daniel 11:40-43. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with the chariot and with the horsemen and with many as ships. And he shall enter into the country and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also late, and also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. The thief shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the country, and the land of Egypt shall not escape, but he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. For the dispute brought to view in this verse occurring between the kings is not before the time of the end or in the time of the end, but at the time of the end. For the king of the south, you know, is the one to push at the king of the north, and the king of the north is the one to win the war and to take from the king of the south the glorious land, Palestine, and Egypt besides the countries that are not mentioned by name. These points, as we shall now see, are sufficient to perfectly identify both kings, the war, and the time it is fought. As the war is to begin at the time of the end, and as the king of the south is the loser of the war, the countries that are conquered must therefore be ruled by the king of the north during the time of the end. For the detailed study of Daniel 11, read tract number 12, The World Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. Since those who ask the questions agree with us that we are now living in a time of the end, we need not say more concerning that phase of the subject, but we do need to have them tell us which power at this particular time and the time of the end has added the glorious land Palestine, Egypt, and other countries to his empire. The answer that anyone can give is that Great Britain took these from Turkey and has virtually ruled them ever since. Plainly then, during the time of the end, Great Britain is the king of the north and Turkey is the king of the south. Rightfully so, also, for the Mohammedanism originally arose from the south of the Mediterranean and inundated the lands of the north and ruled them to the time of the end. Then the tables turned and the Turkish Empire began to shrink while the British began to expand. Since there is no way of anyone dodging the truth of the subject, there is no need of a further discussion of it. For the detailed study on Daniel 11, read the last part of tract number 12, Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. Do not expect too much of the later sins, though, for you know that it is just as hard for them to accept truth as it was for most of us when we were in their place. Why? Because for most human beings, it is hard to say we are wrong. Only a few can shun pride of the opinion and admit their errors. It is for this very reason that the newly revealed truth is never popular. When the truth for today came to us, we believed it not because others did, but because we ourselves clearly saw it. Let us thus continue, but let us be patient, tolerant, and charitable with all. Our next question to give answer to is World War II and Daniel's prophecy. Daniel 11:44-5. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacle of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help. In this particular war, the king of the north goes to destroy many, because unpleasant news from out of the east and from out of the north reach his ears. The king of the south is therefore not involved in it. Since Hitler and Russia, the powers of the north, started war number two in Poland, then Japan, the power of the east, joined it. And since Turkey, the king of the south, kept out of it, it is very obvious that the war of the Daniel 11:44 is World War II, and to which the tidings here mentioned dragged England, the king of the north. World War II, therefore, is positively the war predicted in Daniel 11:44-5. The last war of Daniel 11, moreover, the fact that only verse 44 so far has been fulfilled, that the king is yet to come to his end, is proof positive that World War II is yet to be finished, that there is to be no peace now and no mutual agreement between the nations, although the war is supposed to have ceased since Hitler's disappearance. The statement, he shall come to his end and none shall help him, implies that someone has been helping him, and the world knows that it has been the United States of America. We therefore find ourselves living in between verses 44 and 5 of the Daniel 11. Our next question is, when does the time of the end begin? Let us read Daniel 11:35. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, and to purge them, and to make them what? Even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. Here you note that the Yahweh's people were to fall, be persecuted, martyred, and tried even to the time of the end. They were to go through that ordeal in order to be purged, tried, and made what? Bear in mind that the purging was to continue up until the time of the end, and that the king of the south was to push against the king of the north at the time of the end. Now mark that the preposition to, which is a future tense preposition, terminates at the preposition at. That's where the purging ends. the king's pushing begins, these points were brought to light at the beginning of this study. So far as I am able to find, history teaches that the martyrdom ceased in 1700 AD and that the Turkish Empire began to shrink in 1699. See map number 10 of track 12. For the world yesterday, today, tomorrow, the time of the end therefore began at the closing of the 17th century, the time martyrdom ceased, and the time that the Turkish Empire began to disintegrate. And moreover, speaking of the tribulation in which the millions were martyred, Yeshua said, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, Matthew 24:29, the day dark came, or the dark day came in 1780 AD, and while the Turkish Empire kept on shrinking, the British kept on expanding. Here is seen that prophecy perfectly corroborates history. Now learn how to turn wasted time into good use. You are aware of the fact that we are given a great work and that the time in which to do it is very short, that we should therefore learn how to turn wasted time into good use. Someone has said that on the average, more than half of the men's life and energy are wasted on the useless talking and in the policing others. One of our greatest needs, therefore, is that we learn, we learn to control our tongues and to keep our noses out of the other people's business in order to conserve time and energy, peace, and integrity. It is well to remember also that our tongues are given to us for the purpose of speaking Yahweh's truth and His praise, and our energies for the proclaiming of His truth and to bless His people. Let us be talking of and working for these heaven-born principles. If you accidentally happen to see or to hear that someone is doing something that, according unto your best judgment, is not proper for a Christian to do, and if you think you can help him, then do not make of yourself a talebearer by telling it to anyone, but rather plead with the guilty one. Do not make yourself a criterion for any other, and do not force your ideas on anyone but on yourself. It is no one's duty to police another. Understand that no one is in debt to bring his life to anyone's standard and maximum. Hear what inspiration said. Who art thou that judges another? Man's servant. Another man. Unto his own master he standeth or falleth, yet he shall be holding up. For Yahweh is able to make him stand, Romans 14:4. But since you are not able to, then why try? Do not make enemies by your tongue. Make friends, and do not have your feelings on your fingertip. If you do, you yourself will feel the loss of friends, of the social joy and of the opportunity and privilege for the winning souls unto Yeshua. Do not end the day with no credit to the recorded, to be recorded on your page of the heavens ledger. Do not misinterpret other people's motives either. Try to see and interpret something in the right way. Give everyone a chance. See the good in every thing in the right way. Give everyone a chance. See the good in everyone and close your eyes to all evil. Let your conversation be on the subject of the promoting Yahweh's truth for the day. It will keep you busy talking of something profitable and commendable. I think and study, and when you talk religion, by all means do not become a bore. Go on with your talk only as far as your listeners follow you. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast you your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Matthew 7:6. Tongues are hard to control, and ears always anxious to hear. It will therefore be better if you do less wisdom. Much wisdom is only a waste of time and a temptation to disgust the motes in the eyes of others and to overlook the beam that is in your own eye. Whenever you are by yourself, you can get something done. You can then either work or study. But when you get together with others, the chances are that you get nothing done but harm to yourself and to others. Now is the time to study and to learn the truth for this time, to find out how to give a study and how to answer questions in a simple way without having to go into a lot of history or biography. And if you are determined to walk with the Yahweh daily and to study His will concerning your own duties, not the duties of others, you will find plenty to keep you busy and out of mischief. Remember also that you are the candidates for the first fruit of the 144,000, unto the either one with or be one of the 144,000, that you are to be without guile in your mouth. Revelation 14:5. Measure your words by the golden rule. If you will do unto others what you would have them to do unto you, you will have less trouble, greater joy in life, many friends all around you, and sheaves for the heavenly garner. This ends of chat number 4 of Time of Greeting. Yeah, that ends number 4. Okay. It says,